If you know God as a miracle worker, say amen. Amen. If you know God as a promise keeper, say amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a dark place but found the light because you turned to God? Say amen. Amen. Man, when you know God like that, it changes your life. We're not just singing songs up here just to sing songs and to feel moments in the service. I hope those words resonate in your hearts. And We're in a series right now, Faithful Together. I mean, this is what it's about. I'm just glad to have people up in the building. It's weird speaking to like three people. I'm just being honest with you. Hey, amen. I get a little bit of back and forth. Praise God. I'm grateful for that. Grateful to be with you all this morning. These songs have just helped me. Marissa was up here singing. That wasn't singing. That was singing. You know what I mean? I was grateful. Josh, oh, the band up here, grateful. Ah, I'm ready. If I ain't ready to preach now, I got problems. Man, good to see y'all. I guess I'm supposed to say happy Valentine's Day. Hey, man, if you into that, enjoy your Valentine. But I know some people got problems with it. It's not in the Bible. It makes me feel weird. Hey, I respect that. So for those of you that hate this day, it'll be over in a little bit. You know, but hey, remember, there's one that holds you close. Like Josh just sang a little while ago. Sometimes we got to remember that's who God is in these moments, but hope you are able to enjoy this because we know we can agree on this, or we have a God who is the great lover of our souls, and that is the truth. Faithful together, that's who we want to be. Whew. And we've been fasting together. If you're visiting with us, we are embarking on a fast this month. Started on February 8th, and it goes all through the month. People are doing different things in their fast, but the coolest thing is we're doing it all at the same time. And what I've appreciated about this fasting is I do think it's helped develop a deeper spiritual awareness sustained throughout a day. That's what it's done for me. And for me, I've chosen to do something that is an old practice called examine or examine, depending on who you hear on a podcast. But it's a practice that you do. Some people do it at night. Some people do it early in the morning. I do it in the morning. And you look over the last like 24 hours and you see, where was I able to live like Christ or Christ living through me over the last 24 hours? And you just go through the day. You examine the day and you look and to see where was Christ manifest in my life. And you also see and you celebrate that. You take time to celebrate that. Praise God, you know. But also, were there moments in that last 24 hours where you weren't Christ-like, where Christ wasn't living through you? And it's in those moments where we are most unlike Christ where we can pray to God to have Christ formed in us and to be humble and to bow before the Spirit and give the Spirit the consent to transform you from within where you cannot on your own. And that's what I've been trying to do. And again, I just feel like each day, I've never done this before, but I'm growing in this ability. And I hope that as you go through your fast, maybe it's food, when those hunger pains hit, I hope you see that that's an opportunity to connect with your God. Or when you've given up social media, when you want to pick up the phone and post something, I'm not doing that. And you need to ask yourself, why do I want to do this so badly? Why do I want to eat this food so much? And I think that's an opportunity to talk to God about it right there. God, does this have a grip on me that I don't realize? And again, it's these moments, if you allow them to be spiritually inclined, you can have a connection with God that maybe you've never had before. And I invite you to not just fast to make it to the 28th. I got to make it to the 28th. But let each day give you an opportunity to connect with your God. And as I was going through this, I was reminded of an old movie that I thought had a clip in it that to me had some spiritual connotations, in my opinion. And especially when it comes to fasting, because sometimes you have to do without something that you've really been relying on. And when you don't have it anymore, what do you do? And I think this video clip, to me, illustrates it. I don't use video clips much, but hey, we'll try one today. We'll see what happens. See if you make the connection. If it works, I don't know.
Come on.
I hear you too, Mama. You're right there.
Yes, I am.
Why are you crying, Mama?
'Cause I'm happy.
Whatever it is that you've been relying on, food, whatever, when you don't have it, it helps you to rely on other things. A spiritual awareness is what we need. Some of us are stale in our walk, dry as a bone. Let go of these things that distract you. It's not like his ears all of a sudden got new eardrums and where he had some surgery to help his ears hear better. But he relied on his hearing more. And you know what he found? He could live. He could survive. And he ended up becoming one of the greatest piano players ever. Better than people that could see, right? You can do without, but with God, you can do anything. And that's what El Shaddai is all about. That's who he is. That's one of his names. God is bigger than everything. God doesn't cover all of who God is, okay? And El Shaddai is one of the names that God has revealed himself to us as. And you know, in our language, or in Spanish especially, you know, sometimes you look at El and you go, oh, the Shaddai. Well, no. El does not mean the, okay? I used to live in El Segundo, right? I know, that's not what it is. It's not El, like, it means something, okay? It means like God, mighty one. You say that's only two letters, but in the Hebrew, man, it's deep. But when you see the L, mighty one, El, and that's the symbol, right? And so then when you go to El Shaddai, when you put them together, what is this Shaddai? It has many meanings. It could mean breast in the sense of nourishment, like a child on the mom's breast, like, wow, to survive. It could mean almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful. It could be the mountain one, right? Which could have meant like, wow, sometimes they worshiped on mountains, or just the majesty of a mountain. And sometimes it can mean a field, like when a field bears crops, right? That concept of fruitfulness. So all of these different concepts come into mind when you hear the word El Shaddai. So there's many different meanings. Oh my goodness. And I don't have time. I was trying to figure out how can I whittle this down to like 25. I mean, I can't do it. So we're going to give it our best shot, right? But we're not going to cover the whole thing. So I've already baked into this presentation some stuff for you to do on your own, some stuff for you to do in your small groups, and y'all can chop it up and talk about it and pray together and reflect on it. So I've given you some homework within this slide presentation that we'll put online so you can click on it and go to town with it. But this concept of God Almighty, and that's how it is translated in most of our Bibles, Lord Almighty, sometimes the All-Sufficient One. And it shows up at first in Genesis 17. But the thing is, if you're not reminded of what happened before Genesis 17, it won't have the impact. And I know some of you are Bible veterans, right? You're like, man, I know what happened in Genesis 17. Off the top of my head, I can tell you. Well, amen. So you should pray for those that are uninitiated into the Word of God as I do a quick one-slide review of, like, too much history and I can't hit everything. But if we're going to get the full impact of Genesis 17, you got to be reminded of two main people, and their names at this time are Abram and Sarai, or we can say Abram, but I'm going to say Abram because we in the South and we in the United States. So when we meet Abram and Sarai, Abram is 75 and Sarai is 65. Very important, so remember that. And God says, Abram, I need you to leave your country. I want you to go somewhere. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make many nations out of you. I'm going to make you great, but I need you to go. And I know your wife is 65 and she still hasn't had any children. But that's the reality. That's who Abram is. That Sarai. That we find them at 75 and 65. And then in Genesis 16, we get another age marker, okay? Genesis 16, we find out that Abram is 86, okay? And at this time, Sarai still can't have kids. So it's been 10, 11 years, still no kids. So what are they thinking? Well, God must have messed up. God didn't know what he was doing. God must not have realized I couldn't have children. So you know what, Abram, I need you to sleep with this servant here, have a child through her, and that must be what God's going to do. So that's the plan that they chose to go with. And so they had a child named Ishmael. Again, when Abram's 86 and Sarai is 76. The next time we get an age marker is Genesis 17. And this is where we meet El Shaddai, right? We've known him all along in the scriptures, but he reveals this name. And when Abram was 99, so 13 years after what we just talked about, he had to wait another 13, and Sarai still hadn't had a baby. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down. You know, God, when he makes himself known in this way, El Shaddai, he kind of reveals an intimate part of who he is. I want you to know me as this. I'm almighty. And maybe in our vernacular, I think we could say, I'm the God who makes a way out of no way. I'm the way maker. I'm the God that makes what you see as impossible actually possible. I make things happen. I have the power to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm all sufficient. All you need is me. I got this. That's who you need to know me as, Abram, okay? And this is God revealing this to Abram after Abram has been waiting for a long time and has already kind of sidestepped the plan, and he'd been a little shaky. He went down to Egypt, lied about who his wife was. I mean, he was doing all kind of shady stuff that I don't have time to get into, but he wasn't showing himself the whole way to be this awesome, faithful guy, and God says, I'm the guy you can be, I'm sufficient to take care of you. Okay, I need you to stop doing all your little tricks and stuff. You need to just follow. Walk with me, man. Be faithful. Have conviction that I'm going to come through, that I'm sure, that you can rely on me. Be loyal to me. Be blameless, which kind of gets at that. Walk with integrity. As you go through life, use the principles that I give you to guide you. Because I can provide for you. Stop going around and doing your own thing. Excuse me, Abram fell down. Man, I wish we had that kind of fear of God. Just that humility, like, whoa, wow. And Abram, man, he fell face down, whoo. And God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. And at this point, picture this, Abram's on the ground, face down. God said, you know what? I'm going to change your name. Your name ain't going to be Abram anymore. And you go, well, who cares? You know what Abram means? It means exalted father. Stop. Think about it. Abram's on the ground. The man is 99. His wife ain't had no kids. His whole life. See, in the Hebrew, when they gave people names, it wasn't just like, well, Fred. Okay, Fred. No.
It was a name that was supposed to mean something. It kind of conferred something. Like even if you name your kid, you want him to kind of live up to it a little bit. Like give him some guidelines. Become this, you know. God bless them on this. It wasn't just a name. It sounds good with the last name. No. So exalted father. So the parents, maybe they had view, they had some dreams for their kid. And he grows up. You know some people that have names. And you go, why do your parents name them that? Right? Yeah, what in the world? Did I push something wrong? Hey. And if you think about it, Abram's whole life, hey, exalted father, what's up? And when he got old and got married, oh, hey, exalted father, oh, your parents probably had dreams for you. How many kids you got? I don't have any. Hey, I want you to meet my friend. Hey, this is my friend, exalted father. Oh, nice to meet you. Wow. Well, how many do you have? I don't have any. Oh, wow. Is he in sin or what? God not love him or his wife barren? I mean, wow, he's exalted father. So he's face down. God says, I'm gonna change your name. He probably like, thank God. It's about time. Hook a brother up with something else. Like, still love his wife even though we ain't got kids. Whatever that means, give me that. But God says, you know what? Your name not gonna be exalted father. I have made you a father of many nations. What's the tense that I have made you? It's already done. I done already settled on it. I'm El Shaddai. You think it's impossible with your face on the ground. I make things possible. I'm the way maker. You don't think it can happen? I done already settled it. So you're the father of many nations. Coming from you. And I'll make you fruitful. Again, that concept of fruitfulness. And kings will come from you. And notice how I like how now Abram has a new destiny now. It's like God kind of gives him some new direction in life, man. It's not just about being a father. You're going to be a father of nations. I love how God can just change our destiny, right? He reveals his name, but he also changes names. So you can look at your life anew. And I think that's powerful. And then he said, hey, your wife, you know what? She's not going to be called Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I'm going to bless her and will surely give you a son by her. Okay, Abraham, repeat after me, by her. Stop going around my plan. I will bless her. She will be the mother of nations. Kings of people who's come from her. Abram fell face down again. He's like, man, this is crazy. And then he laughed. He's like, man, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? How many 90-year-old people you know? You should picture them in your mind. You really should. And you should really reflect on El Shaddai. You should think about a 90-year-old. My grandmother died at 90. There's no way. But he's the way maker. He is the way maker. El Shaddai. That's who we need to know him as. And you go, what does it matter, all these names of God? It does matter. It's a way for you to be more intimate with God. It can help you if you allow it. And I'm going to close with a story, and then I'll share the small group questions because I'm running out of time. Think of it this way, just trying to bring it to real life. Tell you a story, okay? You got two coworkers, Kathy and Cherie. They work at the same company for a few years. They're not real tight, you know. There's no animosity, but you know, you work at the same company. They meet each other at the Keurig machine every now and then, maybe exchange a little small talk, go back to their cubicles, do their thing. One day, Kathy and Cherie had to go to this mandatory training that the company instituted, and they were bored out of their minds, right? They were, when lunchtime came, they had like a 2-hour block for lunch. They both had the idea, we're getting out of here, but they didn't know it. You know, each other ended up at the same place for lunch. So they see each other, they go, man, I can't just be on my own. I'm gonna have to, you know, so they decide to sit down and have lunch. They talk about how boring the training is, small talk. And then Kathy's like, Sharia, did you grow up around here? And Sharia starts talking about her life. And Cherie says, yeah, you know, I was a twin. I had a twin. Oh, wow. Kathy's like, wow, you had a twin. And then Cherie tells the story of how her twin tragically died when they were in middle school. And it was a very painful, shocking, hard thing for her. And Cherie just struggled. And even as she retold the story, tears started coming down. It was still raw, even though it had happened many years before. And then she told further the story about how their parents' marriage just didn't seem to be able to hold up under the shock and the pain of losing a child. And her parents ended up even getting a divorce, and it was terrible, and there was a custody battle, and they were a church-going family for a long time, and then all of a sudden all this happened, and then no church and no God and no Bible. And Cherie started talking about just, man, it was a dark time in my life, and she's just sharing about her life and the pain and the discouragement. And the tears were running down, and Kathy was crying too. And Kathy's like, but Cherie, I see you got scriptures on your cubicle. I mean, I've seen that. I mean, you talk about God a lot. And Cherie's like, yeah, I mean, I've had to come to terms with God. And I don't blame him anymore. I was mad at him for a long time. But you know, I've come through, and I think I've drawn closer to him because of all of it. And this conversation was deep, and they almost didn't want to go back to the training. They go back to training. And they go back to life as usual. A few months later, Kathy finds out something about her husband that she was shocked to find out. And it really shocked their marriage, and they had to go to therapy, and it wasn't looking good. And more stuff started coming out. And Kathy said, how could this be? I mean, we've been faithful. We go to church. And I thought he loved me. And then I can't believe in her. And they got a divorce. Her life shattered. She didn't know how to respond. And then she found out her favorite aunt diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And so Kathy didn't show up for work for a couple days. And Kathy's like, man, I don't know what to do. And she said, who can I turn to? And she didn't call the hang out at the Keurig machine person. You know who she called? She called the one who persevered through pain and still loves God. Her friend, Cherie. Because that's who she knew her as. She picked up the phone, and Cherie was at her house within minutes. And Cherie was there for her. Held her as she told the story of what happened, cried with her, prayed with her. And Kathy said, you were the one that I felt like would understand me because you shared who you were to me. And Cherie helped her through it. And it was hard. But Cherie was there for her every step of the way. And then sometime later, they had to go to that same training again. A year had gone past. And this time, they made plans to have lunch together. And they sat down at the table, and they talked. And all of a sudden, Cherie started doing an impersonation of the dude during the training. And Kathy laughed so hard that the stuff came out of her nose, but she was drinking. She couldn't stop laughing. They both got the giggles. Kathy said, I didn't know you were this funny, Cherie. I didn't know. That's how it is with God. There's so much about him. There's so much about his nature. Call on him. Call on that you can make anything happen, God. Call on him. Call on the I don't understand what's going to happen in my life. I got no answers. It's impossible. Call on El Shaddai. Don't call on the big man upstairs and all this nebulous stuff. Call him on his name. He wants to be known as the God Almighty, the God who makes fruitful, even though you look barren. That's the God we serve, and this is only one name. Oh, my goodness, people, there's so much to learn. All right, so small group discussion. Look at Abram's family tree, because, Isaac was their son, and Isaac had a son who was acting a fool, okay? And he had to call on the name of El Shaddai. You can talk about that in your small group. So there was another kid down the same line, all right? A guy named Joseph. Joseph had a crazy life, and you can talk about how crazy his life was in your small group, but there, when you look over his life, you see the name El Shaddai at a very important moment when he's getting blessed. El Shaddai. Talk about that in your small group. Again, all this stuff will be online. And if that wasn't enough, I've got more small group questions that you can ask within your group so that we can let this material help us grow in our faith and help us understand who God is so that we can call on him and that we can be closer to him and be more spiritually aware of who he is in every moment. Because ultimately, he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And let's pray. And if you're at home, this is a time where you can maybe get the Lord's Supper elements that you have and join me in prayer. Father, you are amazing. You make a way out of no way. Things that seem impossible to us, you make happen. Thank you for changing our destiny. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for being the capital N nourisher of our lives. Thank you for making us fruitful. Thank you for being almighty, omnipotent, the one who is all sufficient. We need no one other than you. We thank you for how you provide for us. And we know that ultimately you sent us Emmanuel, your son Jesus, and he is God with us. And I pray that as we take the Lord's Supper, that we remember Jesus. We remember the sacrifice he made, what he endured in his body, the blood he shed. And we remember that we can live a new life because of that sacrifice. And that we can call upon his name at any moment of the day. I pray that we proclaim that we live out that truth, that we die to ourselves and allow Jesus to live through us. We pray this in his name. Amen.